Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Wonderful, wonderful to be here, isn't it? Amen. Stand to your feet. He did it again. Stand to your feet. How many of you that are standing to your feet can say that God has really done some wonderful things in my life? Raise your hand. Now wave at me. Make sure that's everybody. Wave both of them. Now give him the biggest shout that you can ever give. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Pastor John, you coming up? You okay? All right. Well, I tell you what, the worship was awesome. I sensed a little struggle of entry, but I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, just open wide, just open the gates wide and let us just run on in. But all through the music, just danced around the message. And there is an occasion that I will ask for a certain song, but most of the time I don't say anything to Pastor Charlie and them, but it's amazing how the Spirit works. And how he's moving in our midst, you know. About we want to talk to you about unfaltering faith, faith that does not falter, does not stop. Listen to this thing about it's relentless. Say this: relentless, relentless. Enduring, enduring. Unwavering. Unwavering, unceasing, unceasing. Tireless. Tireless, endless, endless. Nonstop. Tenacious, unshakable, persistent, determined, continuous, constant, fixed, firm, resolved, rock steady, unfailing. That's a description of our faith. And if we're not there, we need to get there. And we're gonna use our faith, and we're gonna use that our worship time. I'm gonna say something about it, but we have a situation, and I'm not saying they have a situation. We have a situation down in El Monte, Mexico, that we have sent the Somerville family 17 years ago. They have been building this mission center that they reach out to people, and they train missionaries, a training center as well, that they train people how to be able to go out and win one of the largest cities, you know, Mexico City. And there, how many? 28 million people. But we sent 10, we sent a family of 10, and they've been working for 17 years. They've built facilities to live in, facilities to teach and train, and I don't know how many facilities they have as far as buildings. Don't know, but a lot of them. But I remember going down and surveying the first foundation of the two cabins that they were going to be built and going to build. But we have a situation. Matter of fact, say this: we have an impossible situation before us. And here's the impossible situation. How many of you know that? Some of you don't know, but they've been. Battling this thing about the legality of the land that they're on. It's not theirs, it is theirs, it isn't theirs, it is theirs. Been going through that for many years, and several times it's been awarded that it's their land. And that, when I say theirs, the mission's land. And continue to work, continue to head full of steam in the direction that God wants them to go, and they've worked hard and they've been there serving. But the impossible situation is this: they have lost the case again. And this time, if God does not intervene, they will leave the premises permanently. You remember when a year or so ago they came in and they ransacked the place and threw their stuff out? You remember that? And they were ordered to leave then, and the court let them come back. But this time they've lost the case. And They had an appeal within, I think it was 18 days. I think that was right. And they never knew the case was closed. I've got a lawyer in the family. I'm going to talk to her. I've got a prosecutor here with me, an investigator with me. So we're going to sick them. No, I'm messing with you. But you have to understand that this is a situation that's impossible. But what have we been learning about? This is the year of what? The impossibles being possible. This is the year that we're asking God to put the impossible situation in front of us and let us go through it to make it possible. Amen. Well, we had some, right? We're debt free. It was impossible for us to be able to do that, but God saw fit to bring us into that place of being debt free as a church. We celebrated that a few weeks ago. But I think they're packing this week, packing today probably, to be able to leave the premises. But I'm telling you, one part of the message is this, that over in Psalm 149, it talks about the high praises the people. Let the people. The people come in with high praises to our God. And in the midst of high praises, there is a double-edged sword that is to execute against darkness. We as a church need to understand, the church, not just us, we have an awesome privilege, a tremendous privilege to come together corporately to worship God. To worship God, not just in your closet time, but we have a privilege given to us that is granted to us to come together to worship Him and to praise Him without limitations. But I'm afraid the church has not seen the responsibility of it, and I'm afraid that we have been hindered in our thinking concerning it. We don't really see it that it is part of the equipping of uniting us together in worship. I'm telling you that the level of authority that you and I can administer is going to be equal to the level, listen to this, to the level, because in Psalm 149, to the level, it's going to be the level of our authority to be able to be used effectively is going to equal the level of your worship, the depth of your worship, and your intimacy with God. If we think that we're going to just have the head knowledge about authority without a heartfelt intimacy with Him, we're thinking, that's what I'm saying, the church has got to understand the awesome privilege that we have to worship together, to be equipped together. Francis Frenchman puts it this way. A citywide war. Do you want to know the rest of it? You ICIT students? Huh? It takes a citywide church to win a citywide war. Y'all hear that? You try to do something when there's a citywide war, try to do it alone. God didn't, that is not God's way. God's way is for His people to come together, for His people to come into unity, for His people to stand together, for people to be so unified that no matter what they set their mind to, it won't be impossible for them to accomplish. That's God's way. So this thing about who we are, where we are, if we don't understand that when we come together to worship, we come together to not just to minister to Him in our song, but in the meantime of all of that, He is establishing an authority structure that the unit can begin to operate in against the darknesses, against the darkness that's there and against the evil that is there. Do y'all believe that? You know, how do we know that? Look at Jehoshaphat. They were faced with enormous an enormous army against them. Just a little old bitty Israel. Just little old bitty people. And they look in the valley and they see how enormous this army is, that they're going to be overtaken and overwhelmed. Everybody say, but God. But God said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to send the worshipers out first. Don't get the men with the shields and the swords and the spear. I want you to put the worshipers out first. I want you to put the dancers out. I want you to put the singers. I want you to put the musician. What's he saying? I want you to come together and I want you to worship, because this is going to be your warfare. This is how you're going to be able to execute the justice that needs to be done at the injustice that is being done. Y'all getting it? That's God's way. Right? That's God's way. And that's not the only one. Jericho. Here's Jericho. They're done as far as crossing over. Crossed over. Jericho's there. We've gone as far as we can go. But God has a strategy, and he has a way. And he tells the people, I want you to get the trumpets, and I want you to march around it seven times, and I want you to shout. And I want you to, and his shout is like, I want you to worship me as you surround the impossible. I want you to worship me as you collectively surround the impossible. Are y'all getting this? Our corporate worship sets the tone of the size of the giants that we will be able to overtake when we're sent out. But I'm afraid we're not taking advantage of the worship time that we have. Can I just be flat out open with you? There's some that'll stay, they'll come in 20 and 30 minutes late because the song service is too long. We're not even gathering in the importance of why we need it. Are you with me? So we have this. Listen, I'm happy. I'm not mean today. I'm really not, and I'm not mad. The only thing I'm upset with is the injustice that's being done to our family that's in Mexico. To see 17 years be handed over and not return. That's an injustice. And the Bible says that we can execute judgment against the injustice when we understand our worship and have the faith that is unwavering, unfaltering, believing God. And Sean said, let's just see what God does. We know the situation, but let's just see what God does. Right? See, when we do not bring an offering, I'm not talking about money, when we do not bring an offering of praise to him, or even if it's hard to praise him because of what we're going through, if we do not bring a sacrifice of praise to him, we're coming in a situation that does not benefit. We're just showing up. No, every time we come together to worship the Lord, we ought to bring an offering of praise to him. And if it's hard, we ought to give a sacrifice of praise. I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't like what I'm going through. But I am going to praise you anyway. I'm going to thank you anyway, and I'm going to enter into worshiping you collectively as a unit here at Father's Vineyard, and we're going to grow in our ability to conquer the darkness that is set before us, and we're going to do it together. Not just one. You are important as an individual. Extremely important. But we as a unit have greater strength when we can put 10,000 to flight just by uniting. Let God do what he wants to do, but let him do it through the praises and the worship of his people to their God. Y'all understand it? Don't take lightly where you're sitting today and the time that you're sitting here and the time that you were standing during the worship. And it's okay to sit and stand or dance or whatever, but don't take it lightly that you're here to worship the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the God of all gods, the one that is not just has the answer, but is the answer. And he wants to see somebody, a people that is going to be so united, so unwavering and unfaltering in their faith and their worship to him, that he will navigate the possibility of an impossibility to be done through them. If we're going to stick to human reasoning, we're done. If we just stick to this human mind of how to figure it out, but that's what the church goes to a lot of times. We try to figure it out on human reasoning instead of let God say, this is what I want you to do and go do it. How many of you have ever been in a situation that you could not figure it out? Okay. But who did? God. But when we solely rely on human reasoning only, we're in trouble. So we sacrifice so many of the promises of God on an altar that's called human reasoning. Right, that's the promise of God. I know it. But, I just don't think this is going to. Why don't you think it's going to happen? Well, look at this. Look how big this is. Look how hard this is. This is the altar of human. So I will sacrifice the promise of God on human reasoning and walk off feeling like, well, God didn't come through for me. And I'm telling you, that's wrong thinking. So what are we going to do about this situation? Here's family. They're supposed to retire next month. No, in May. This is not the way they wanted to retire. Have to leave and give everything that they worked hard for. I'm going to say this, but God. I wished I'd have said this before we started worshiping, before we started the song part, to see if it made a difference. But our hearts have got to be fixed. Our faith has got to be fixed. Unfaltering, unwavering, endless. It has to, all the things that we read, it has to be so rock solid. It has to be so in tune with what God wants, that no matter what we're faced with, no matter what we see, no matter what the court says, we will stand on holy ground that's called his promises, and we will go forth in his name doing his work, even though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Did you have something?
Song that I led today was, before Vineyard, Hosanna music, Hillsong, all these that we know of right now, Christ for the Nations had worshipers. And so I kept my teeth listening to a worship leader about 1979, 1980 by the name of Mike Massa. And he was on one of the latest Christ for the Nations worship songs, and he did one of those on an album called Faithful. And he had cancer. He came up and he led the song. And God gave him those words. And that's what brought healing to his body. And what Pastor was talking, it was like he got that in his heart. It was birthed in his heart. He sung it and God healed him. And you can borrow somebody's song, but it has to be your song. It has to be God speaking that worship song to you. He's faithful. He needed healing. They need a miracle in Mexico. Whatever it is, you get that song in your heart. That's what it's about. The praise and worship has to come from you. And when I first heard him sing that song, it brought tears to my eyes, right, just like it did now. And it meant something to me. And I came to Charlie and I said, this song means something to me. I think it might be something to other people.
Amen.
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 And so this is what we got to do. We got to get that song in our heart. Does this mean something? I'm sorry, neglecting everybody over here. But you know, does that mean? I mean,
yeah.
This has to be deep in there. So when pastor's sharing this, it isn't just a song service. This isn't just entertainment. But this isn't where we come in and people come in. I know people come in late because the song's too. I mean, this is crazy, you know? Because if you got that song in your heart through the week, this 30 minutes that we come in here and praise and worship is nothing. Amen. What do you think we're going to be doing in heaven? I mean, you know, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. That's what we're going to be hearing. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. If you don't like it here, you won't like heaven.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I enjoyed that song, by the way. It was good. We're probably going to do it again in just a minute or two. But, you know, I hear the news. I got the email from Brother Ed about all that they're going through, and I hear the news. But the whole time I was reading it, I was thinking, but God, but God, but God. I mean, they're saying this is it. Last hurrah. When the court made the decision, they had 18 days. I didn't finish that, did I? They had 18 days. But guess who the court did not notify that a decision had been rendered? The missionaries. Never knew it. They had eight. The law says they got 18 days to make an appeal. Well, that's come and gone. We're in 28 days or something like that. You know, it's just complete injustice. Pulling my pants up. Pulling my belt up for a reason here. We're about to show out. Now listen, God is God. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the situation looks like down there. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter. God is still God. He's still on the throne. The Bible says that he established. Didn't nobody establish the throne for him. He established his throne. We get to cover it with praise. We are the covering of the throne of God. Our praises, our worship and our praises are that's the covering. That's what Lucifer did. That's the reason he hates you and I so much. The Bible says in Ezekiel that he was the covering. He was the cherub, the angel that was in charge of the worship over the throne. He was the covering. He orchestrated the praises, but now when he fell, that left. And who did he establish to be the praisers now? Us. Man, he hates us. We displaced him. All right. I'm ready to just intercede. How about you? I'm ready to call upon God. I'm ready to cry out for the miracle. I'm ready to cry out that the injustice will be turned and that righteous judgment that we sing about, the righteous judgment of God will be executed, will be brought up, and that this decision will be reversed. Yes or no?
Yes.
Either he can or he can't, and I believe he can. I believe that he holds the heart. I believe he can speak. I believe he can put words in their mouth that they don't even know what they're saying. Yes. Yes.
I believe that potentially the greatest enemy that we have right now is that the accuser has convinced us that we don't have enough faith. I have struggled for years in this very battle of seeing things happen around me in the lives of other people and ministries, and acknowledging that, you know, the Lord has responded and has, in his grace and his mercy, has just done the impossible. But when it comes to me, that seems to be this whole other arena. And who am I to judge that I have enough faith? Who is the one who gives me faith?
God.
The measure of faith that I have comes from him. Who am I to stand before him and say, well, God, I just, you know, I doubt that you've given me that. And I can attest personally, I prayed for people through decades that the Lord would minister to them, that that their faith would be met by his mercy and grace, and praise the Lord, I've seen that evidenced. And yet when it came to myself, again, it just seemed to be something that was for someone else. Well, last September, after having been treated for a number of medical conditions for about 10 years, God healed me. It wasn't an experience where, you know, the cannons went off, the fireworks lit up the sky. It was just the practical day-to-day doing what I was supposed to be about, thanking the Lord, worshiping him, acknowledging him as I stepped out with the faith that he had given me, not something that I was being prescriptive about myself or putting a label on or thinking, did I have enough or not enough? Just being faithful. And so I haven't been on any medications since last September. My doctor at the Veterans Administration, when I came in twice to see him. He was concerned. This last time I saw him in January, he said, it's just a spontaneous cure. He said, this doesn't happen. This just doesn't happen. I'm talking to a doctor who's 65 years old. He had never seen it before. The level of medication I was on. Quit, help me, Father. Quit putting expectations that are working against what God wants on your faith. Just look to him and say, God, I thank you for what you've given me. I want that to be exercised, and walk it out. And let him take care of the end.
Amen.
Friday at 6:41, I responded to Debbie Somerville. I said, we're declaring that every weapon that has been formed against you will come to nothing. Declaring the protection and the promises of God regarding your inheritance. And as I was praying, I heard 10 days. Pray into that. If you're not physically there, have someone anoint the soles of your feet and walk the property, declaring legal victory, a turnaround over the corruption and the injustice, the plans of the enemy. His mercies are new every morning. I believe, like, symbolically right now, there's three. Linda was just hearing that there were three spirits that were operating here to keep us from entering into a faith realm that our brother was just talking about. One is the spirit of confusion. One is the spirit of distraction. And the other is a blocking spirit. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over all three of those, and I bind the spirit of confusion. I bind the spirit that's controlling, manipulating, in the name of Jesus. The blocking spirit, We bind you in the name of Jesus. We bind that spirit of distraction. And right now we loose the authority of the Spirit of God on every mind, every spirit here. We take authority in the name of Jesus. And I just feel like what we're to do is to take the flags, process with the flags and march in as if this was El Monte right here. And we take authority, we make a declaration. We declare that in the name of Jesus, that the righteous judge who sits and rules and reigns, who has authority over all things, that he rules and he reigns. This is a matter of justice. And so, Father, we come before your throne right now. And we declare that that which you have defined as your work, your ministry, your land, God, this is yours. We have caught the thief, and now we present him before the judgment bar of Almighty God. And we ask for a holy judgment, a holy decree. We ask God for an overturning right now. A releasing of the kingdom of God right there. A changing of hearts. A move of the impossible. God, that you would release right now warring angels, ministering angels. God, angels that will literally move because we are here petitioning. We are here putting angels on assignment. We are here in agreement with heaven. We are here, Holy Spirit, in alignment with you. And so, God, we're asking for an army. Lord Jesus, you are the host of heaven. You are the host of angel armies. And so, God, right now, would you move? Would you arise and move at the voice of your people? At the voice of your people, at the cry of your people, oh God. Will you not arise? As David declared, is this not a cause, oh God, that you would arise, that you would arise with full armor and full battle array, and that, God, you would reverse that which the enemy has come against your work. God, arise and bring justice. Justice. Your people cry for justice, oh God. Not for our sake, but for the kingdom's sake. God, we cry for justice for Mexico, for the lost souls that are there, oh God. For those that need to be swept into the kingdom of God. We cry for our justice and mercy, oh God. Justice and mercy. Where are the flags? Can we get the flags? We need some that'll profess the flags. Where are they? Yeah. Declaring victory. Thanking God for victory. They sent out the singers first. They sent out the worshipers first.
They're getting the flags. They're getting those ready. Continue to hold the sound, hold the key. We're going to follow the word of the Lord. We're going to march around in this sanctuary today. And we're going to be singing the high praises of God. And we're going to declare justice over El Monte. So as you start getting in line, this basket of flags, you just get you one. I don't know which song y'all gonna do, you know? One is. But just whatever y'all wanna do. But I want you to listen. I want you to stand to your feet. Listen to this. Let the high praises of God bless the Lord. Sing the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Y'all just go ahead and start getting in a circle. So we'll start to march in just a second. But listen as you get in the circle. By the way,
This thing with Jericho, did you know that they discovered the walls of Jericho? The archaeologists discovered the walls of Jericho, and do you know that the walls did not fall out, nor did they fall in? The walls fell straight down. Do you know how impossible that is? But it was God who did it. That's the reason they didn't fall out, they didn't fall in. The walls of Jericho just sunk and set the people free. So everybody just start the line. Just go ahead and get all in line. And just keep moving and people will get in line with you. Let his high praise be in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in him being the maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and the lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with deliverance. Let the godly ones exalt in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Yes. And when that happens, a two-edged sword will be in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is the honor for all his godly ones. And he ends it with praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You are worshiping the Lord, but at the same time you are crying out for justice on behalf of El Monte, for the missionaries in Mexico, for their land and their inheritance to be intact, for it to remain as a godly heritage for his people. Continue to walk around. Go all the way around that way and come back and just make room for everybody. Walk just a little bit faster because we got people that need to get in line. We want to complete the circle. Ed and Debbie Somerville, pray for the peace of God to overtake them and to overwhelm them with the presence of the living God.
Father God, full of mercy, precious Lord, clothed with grace, dearest friend, ever faithful, bringing joy with your embrace, always righteous in your precious Lord, precious, clothed with grace, dearest friend, you're ever faithful, Lord, ever faithful, you're bringing joy with your embrace, you're always right, just in your wisdom and by love, and by love. So we're changed each time.
Father God, full of mercy. Oh, Father God, full of mercy. Precious Lord, precious Lord, you're clothed with grace, clothed with grace. My dearest friend, dearest friend, ever faithful, bringing joy, bringing joy.
Everybody on the count of three, I want you to say justice.
Justice.
One, two, three.
Justice!
Oh, that's a good one. What we're going to do, starting with who is right here at the door?
Justin.
Lori. Justice. Justin is at the door. Mm. I want to listen to me. You have to listen to this. If you can do this, I want that door open. And I want you to go out that door and everybody follow him. And we're going to walk around the church. And then we're going to come and we're going to, what?
Where is Sean? He's got the sword.
Sean? Where is Sean? All right, come on. Y'all lead it. He's got the sword, the two-edged sword and a banner. They'll lead us. They'll lead us out. And they'll go out that door, go around, and come back right back in this door. We'll circle, and then we'll close out. How about that?
Hey, if we can, before you go, Leonard Jones posted something this morning having to do with that. And my response was actually 2 Chronicles 20, what Pastor Terry was talking about, which like when he said that, I was like, oh, okay, Holy Spirit is definitely coordinating this thing this morning. My contention is you don't sing light half-heartedly or anything like that when you're going out to war. So give it everything you've got.
Let's get this beat, and then we'll get this in us, and as you go out, because you may not hear the music. But let's go ahead and get this started. Are you ready? Go, get it.
To set the captives free.
Hey!
You came to bring us liberty.
Yeah, yeah.
My sin and my rejection, your blood and my acceptance. Now I'm alive to bring you praise. The Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Yeah.
Every chain is broken through you, Jesus.
Oh.
And the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. your blood has covered every sin. Your grace empowers me to win.
Hey, hey,
my pain and my oppression met your blood and my acceptance.
Come down in Jesus' name. We declare right now, principalities and powers. Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.